This podcast is brought to you by On Track Studio.
You're listening to Things They Don't Tell Her. Everything you don't get taught about periods, pregnancy, and postpartum. I'm going to take you on a journey back to sex ed and teach you what really matters. Ladies, it's time you felt empowered in your bodies. I'm your host, Caitlin Pender, founder of Her Women's Health. And I'm sharing tips to optimize your fertility, pregnancy, and postpartum journey. Hello, guys. Thank you for jumping on and joining me. Today, I am going to talk all about the most common myths that I hear around exercise in pregnancy. We're going to be debunking a few of these myths and really going into detail on why they exist, where they're coming from, and what the current recommended guidelines are around exercise, what core exercise is and isn't safe. I can't wait to share this content with you. This is something that I get asked all the time by other Pilates instructors, PTs, pregnant women. So really excited to go through and share some of this with you guys in more detail. The first one that I want to go through is the idea that pregnant women shouldn't be exercising or that you shouldn't exercise in pregnancy. Now, this is rubbish. Unless you have a high-risk pregnancy or your GP or obstetrician has advised you not to exercise, then you should be trying to exercise every day. In fact, most of the recent guidelines recommend that pregnant women should aim to be active on most, if not all, days of the week for at least 20 minutes, aiming to accumulate 150 minutes of exercise per week. And this should be a combination of cardio exercise, resistance training, and flexibility or relaxation. So that is where your yoga practice or stretching, your meditation, your Pilates practice is hugely beneficial to meet these goals, to ensure that you're getting extra strength throughout pregnancy and so that you are getting cardiovascular fitness, which is improving blood supply. And there are so many benefits to exercising in pregnancy. So I like to break these benefits down into maternal benefits. So benefits for you as the mom, benefits for baby, and benefits for birth outcomes. We know that so many recent studies that have been published are showing that reduced risk of gestational diabetes and prenatal hypertension, so reducing your risk of complications. We know there's a reduced risk of pelvic girdle and lower back pain in pregnancy with exercise and especially with strength training. There's benefits for maternal mental health as well, so lowering risks of perinatal depression, anxiety, and postnatal depression, anxiety. It's going to reduce your risk of maternal weight gain. So this helps to modulate, again, that pain risk. So risk of lower back pain or stiffness, rib pain, pelvic girdle pain, which can be really debilitating. And I see this as a lot as a pelvic floor physio. Exercise benefits for baby. So there's research now coming out that exercise improves the health of the placenta and therefore reduces bub's risk of low gestational weight gain or premature birth. So really significant benefits for the baby. There is some research coming out that it lowers your risk of miscarriage and that it lowers risk of premature birth. It also postpartum, there is studies looking at the effect of exercise in pregnancy and whether you enjoyed exercise during pregnancy and the impact that might have on whether your baby, when they're grown up, enjoys exercise. So there's longitudinal studies looking at correlations between the mother exercising in pregnancy and the fitness and overall health long-term of the baby and the child into adolescence. So there is so many positives for both mom, baby, and then there's also improved outcomes in birth. So it's been proven to help reduce labor complications and length exercise in pregnancy. So number one myth that I want to absolutely rule out is that you shouldn't exercise in pregnancy. As I said, if you have been classified as a high-risk pregnancy or your obstetrician or GP has advised you not to, then it's important to honour and respect this and to find out more about what are the reasons specifically for you to be cutting back on exercise. But if you are not a high-risk pregnancy, then there is absolutely no reason that you shouldn't be exercising. And given we know how many benefits there are for exercise in pregnancy, it is something that you should try and make a part of your routine. Sticking to things that you enjoy, whether that's walking, light jogging or brisk walking, going for hikes, going to the gym, weight training, Pilates, bar. There is so much out there now to support your overall fitness goals and strength. And if you continue exercising through pregnancy, what I see is just so many benefits for mum's mental health and physical body, reduced risk of pain, and then also a greater recovery postpartum. I'm seeing the women that are doing exercise during pregnancy have a much smoother recovery and adjust postpartum to the increased demands of a growing baby. So we often forget in pregnancy that postpartum, you'll be nursing and breastfeeding and carrying a 3 to 4 kilo baby almost all day long. So it's really important to get the arms strong, to get the thoracic, the postural muscles strong to cope with these adaptations so that you're not at the physio with wrist pain, carpal tunnel, arm pain, upper back pain, lower back pain. So I can't recommend exercising in pregnancy, providing you have clearance and it is safe in your pregnancy to stay active throughout. I also like to think about both Eastern and Western philosophies when it comes to exercise in pregnancy. So we know in this Western medical system and this school of research that I've mentioned already, how much benefit there is to staying active throughout pregnancy. And what does that actually mean in the literature? They're suggesting that you continue to exercise at a moderate intensity, which is exercising to the ability to still have a conversation. So, you know, really high impact, intense training where you become breathless is not advised because this decreases oxygen to yourself and to your baby. So in Eastern philosophy, in Ayurveda and yoga, they talk a lot about breath control. And one really beautiful foundational component of Ayurveda is that when the breath becomes labored, it is a sign that you're pushing too hard. And I think this is one of the best pieces of advice that we can give all women, but especially during pregnancy, that we want to exercise to that point where we still have good control of the breath, good management of intra-abdominal pressure, which I'll talk a bit more about in a minute. High intensity exercise in Chinese medicine and Ayurveda in the Eastern philosophies, they talk about conserving prana and jing and not exercising to excess. So I think it is important to honor the increased demands on the pregnant woman and the importance of conserving energy because fatigue levels can be really high and we are trying to provide more nourishment, more conservation of prana or jing. And in this school of thought, we want to do exercise that is still nurturing for the body and that isn't creating such high strain that we're depleting our energy levels. And postpartum, really interestingly, excess activity and especially high impact activity like running can impact maternal milk supply. So I think this shows how excess, exercising to excess or exercising to really high intensities that is going to deplete the mother, and especially during pregnancy, could potentially have more of a harmful impact. So when it comes to exercising pregnancy, it is finding balance, not exercising excessively, finding exercise that is supportive, that's not high impact, is what I would recommend. Things like Pilates and yoga and weight training as opposed to high impact HIIT classes or running. However, if your favorite type of exercise is HIIT and you have always been a runner and that's what you do for your mental health, it's always about weighing up the risk versus the benefit. So potentially if that's what you enjoy so much or if that is your saving grace for your mental and emotional health, then cutting back on that or completely eliminating that might have more of a negative impact on your stress levels. So it's always about supporting what feels good for you and being able to listen to your body in pregnancy. And my recommendation, as I said, for exercise is something that is not so strenuous that it depletes your energy levels. Myth number two, if you haven't exercised before, now is not the time to start. So this is, I disagree with this statement. If you haven't exercised before, now is probably not the time to start training for a marathon or take up an impact sport or powerlifting. However, gradually progressing from gentle to moderate intensity exercise under the guidance of a prenatal certified fitness or health professional can have so many benefits that we've already talked about. And this is where it comes down to what type of exercise you're doing, how often you're doing it, and the level of intensity that you're doing it at. And are you doing it in moderation or are you doing it in excess? So if you haven't exercised before, start by gradually progressing, weaning into a program. Get support from a PT, a Pilates instructor, a physio to ensure that you feel guided to gradually progress your exercises in a way that is safe. Take time to listen to your body and have an understanding of this level of high impact versus moderate impact activity. So working to that point where you still have good breath control, where you're able to still hold a conversation and where you're not significantly depleting your energy levels, where you're still feeling the benefits and you're feeling good in your body. On top of this, it's important to understand how many benefits there are. So this sort of blanket statement of not starting exercise just because you haven't before often impacts women shying away from exercise. And we know how many benefits there are, which I've already talked about. It's also showing that strengthening the pelvic floor and the hips can reduce pain in pregnancy. And as I said, that postpartum recovery tends to be much smoother if we've already gained strength, because having strong arms, strong postural muscles to support nursing a baby all the time, to support postural habits when you're breastfeeding, can significantly improve your health outcomes and your posture and pain levels. So get strong, mamas. It's really important, and find support if you need it. The third myth is that you shouldn't do core exercise in pregnancy. And this is one that gets thrown around a lot. And it's really one that I want to break down. I think it's wrong. And it's a blanket statement that I want to break down because, as I said, it causes a lot of confusion. So firstly, it helps to understand what the core muscles are. I like to think of the core muscles as the muscles that surround the abdominal and pelvic cavity that work together to maintain optimal levels of pressure and strength around your center. I prepared this demonstration of a balloon. If you're joining me live, the muscles, I think, around the core are the muscles I describe around a balloon. So if you imagine the balloon as your abdominal cavity, at the top, which way is it? So at the top, you have your diaphragm, your respiratory diaphragm, which gets forgotten about, but this is one of the most important muscles in the core. At the bottom of the abdominal cavity and pelvic cavity is our pelvic floor muscles. And then at the front, there's the deep abdominal muscles, our transversus abdominis. At the back, we have our deep back muscles, our multifidus. Going from the front layer out, so if we think about the front core muscles, which is the muscles we often think about, this is at the deepest layer, our transversus abdominis, which I want you to imagine is like a corset muscle. So it wraps around the belly from one side to the other, and it acts as a corset when it tightens. The next layer is our external and internal obliques. These muscles wrap diagonally, but if you imagine these muscles wrap across the body, so they're a diagonal line. And then there's the most superficial layer, which is the layer that we can notice the most when we tone our core, which is our six-pack rectus abdominis muscles. Now, during pregnancy, the belly expands and the muscles, the obliques, the pelvic floor, the diaphragm are lifted and pushed up. And it's almost like if you imagine blowing up a balloon. And this is why I have left a pencil in the top of this balloon, because I want to show you what happens when we blow up the balloon to the different muscles. So the obliques, they stretch, the diaphragm gets pushed up a little, the pelvic floor has more load on it, but the main muscles that are affected are the rectus abdominis muscles, which as they start to stretch, this gap in the middle here in between each muscle is called the linea alba, and this is a layer of connective tissue. And if you imagine, and I can show you in a second, when you blow up a balloon, that gap, when the balloon is really small, that gap is going to be small. But as the balloon expands, because of the direction of pull of these muscles, that has to create a larger gap. And as I blow up this balloon, that gap will inevitably get larger. If we think about this in relation to core exercise in pregnancy, it's understanding that as these muscles expand and stretch, there'll be an increased abdominal separation. So what does this mean? Core work in pregnancy, in my opinion, should incorporate learning how to breathe properly because the diaphragm is affected, and learning how to properly engage and relax your pelvic floor and deep abdominal muscles. As for the outer core muscles, it's still beneficial to strengthen the external and internal obliques. And there's more and more research coming out now that strengthening these muscles actually significantly improves back pain and pelvic girdle pain. And the strength program that focuses on these muscles in combination with your lats and your glutes can significantly reduce pain in pregnancy. The one core muscle, which we've spoken about why, with the abdominal separation, where we may want to avoid specific exercises that shorten this muscle is the rectus abdominis, this six-pack muscle. And that is because on the balloon, if you imagine when the muscles shorten, the origin moves closer towards the insertion. So insertion is on the pubic bone and the origin is on the xiphoid process on the sternum, so around the chest bone. When we shorten these muscles, if you imagine, I'll just pop my hands over the balloon. So muscles running up and down that start to stretch, and they stretch outwards to the side, and then the layer of pull becomes thicker and the separation through the umbilical, the midline, tends to be the largest. And then when these muscles contract, when we do a sit up, say when we shorten, the origin moves closer towards the insertion, and that's actually going to pull apart. So it's going to create a larger separation during exercises that specifically shorten these muscles. So things like sit ups or crunches or head curls, because these muscles are shortening. So this is the one thing that we want to avoid during pregnancy, because these muscles are trying to expand naturally. And during sit-ups and crunches, we're shortening those muscles. And it's kind of going against what is naturally trying to occur. We are trying to allow these muscles to expand, and we want them to be able to relax and expand. And doing lots of head crunches and curls is specifically targeting these muscles to shorten, which is not what we want during pregnancy. The other muscles are also trying to expand, but they're not trying to stretch in a longitudinal way. They're expanding and then recontracting. And this ability to contract and relax is really important, because I often see women who get so used to always holding their tummy on. And as women, we're so good at always tensing out around our midline to appear skinnier and to brace our core. Maybe it's out of fear of pain. But what this means is that our diaphragm and our actual deeper core muscles are not able to work properly. So it's really important to know how to relax them so that the diaphragm and the pelvic floor can work optimally. And also so the belly can naturally expand. If we're always holding tension around there, then how is the belly and the baby going to naturally be able to grow? So when it comes to my advice around the level of core exercise, so this might be, you know, the specific intensity of core exercise. The first thing that I consider is what you were doing preconception. If you're a weightlifter, a yoga or Pilates instructor, if you're an Olympic athlete, preconception, you may be able to continue higher levels of core exercise during pregnancy, and that may be considered safe. However, if you're completely new to core exercise, it's probably not the time to start planking or learning harder exercises. It's all about your ability to control the pressures. And some women, if they're athletes or yoga instructors, they might be able to hold a plank for some of pregnancy with good breath control and good ability to control the tone without putting excess pressure on their lumbar spinal, their back. However, if you're new to these exercises, it's not something I would recommend. The next thing I consider is how good is your breath control during these exercises. I can't stress enough the importance of breath control during core exercises, which is why I love the practice of Pilates and yoga. Educating around breath control and really emphasizing the importance of intra-abdominal pressure control. Can you still breathe and do the exercise? Again, the talking test is always good. If you have trouble focusing on the breath, can you count out loud or can you talk? This is also a really good indication of intra-abdominal pressure control. And as I said, yoga teaches us that when the breath becomes labor, you're pushing too hard. As I said already, don't recommend head lifts or exercises that shorten those muscles, but I find things like planks and low planks and four-point kneeling knee hovers or bird dog arm and leg extend in four-point kneeling, great ways to maintain core strength during pregnancy. And I tend to modify the exercises depending on the individual and their background with Pilates or yoga or strength training. So let me know if you have any questions. We've covered a lot in detail, but I really hope this helps to explain to you why it's so beneficial to exercise in pregnancy. Ensure that you understand that these things are myths and that they come from the significant amount of change that's happened over the past three generations. Our grandparents' generation, our mother's generation, were advised to rest during pregnancy and not to exercise. So it's hard to come, you know, when you're reading books or blogs, it's important to understand when they're written and have an understanding of this, not exercising to excess, finding moderation in your exercise program, finding exercise that is tailored to you and understanding that what your past exercise level will also impact the ability to maintain good control and especially breath control during pregnancy. I hope you guys have found this valuable. And if you want to find out more, if you do want to sign up to receive your very own personalized program of Pilates and yoga, you can jump onto my website. I have an online offering for pre and postnatal yoga and Pilates. I recommend consulting and doing either a telehealth or in-person consultation first so that we can specifically tailor this program to your background of exercise, to all the things that we've talked about, and make sure that you're doing the right program so that you can enjoy a healthy pregnancy and seek the benefits of a healthy baby, a healthy pregnancy, and hopefully an optimal birth.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe and share this with other pregnant women or other women that you think deserve to understand this information. It is my mission to share this knowledge with women because this is something that I believe that we should all be taught.